team that went to Guatemala in summer of 2016, and we're just going to share a little bit about our experience there. So it's been almost a year since we were in Guatemala, and the mountaintop buzz has kind of faded. And it's given me time to look at other aspects of my life and see how they can be related to my time at Escuela Integrada. One of the classes that I've been taking this year has been centered on discovering the rules for human beings. And the things that my class has discovered are this: free will and treating all humans as an I thou rather than an I it. In short, that we should treat all humans as capable and worthy of human experience. And that's exactly what Escuela Integrada is doing through the Girls Empowerment Program. Girls empowerment is particularly important in Guatemala, where violence against women is not only condoned, but almost assumed. Guatemala was subject to a horrific civil war, and the culture that has emerged in the aftermath is one of impunity, widespread poverty, and social exclusion, all of which have affected women's rights. Femicide, the killing of women as an act of gender discrimination, is a practice that is widespread in Guatemala. And despite new laws, 98% of femicide cases in Guatemala will end in the perpetrator getting off scot-free. Now, I know that this isn't exactly Sunday morning material, but I think it's important to understand what the girls in Guatemala are facing and how we can help. Escuela Integrada runs an after-school program dedicated to the advancement and empowerment of the girls at their school. When a girl is educated, she carries this knowledge and passes it on to her children, giving herself power that cannot be taken away and simultaneously creating a ripple effect in Guatemala's culture. When I arrived in Guatemala, I didn't know that the Girls Empowerment Program even existed. I was fully prepared to play soccer, go on home visits, and install stoves, and while I still got to do all of those things, I ended up spending almost every single afternoon at the Girls Empowerment Program, painting, doing homework, making collages, reading books, dancing, and playing on the playground. The girls receive a place where they are valued, loved, empowered, and allowed to grow. And while it might not seem like a lot, let me assure you that it is. The days that I spent at the Girls Empowerment Program showed me how important it is to have a safe place. From 6-year-old Evelyn, who loves the monkey bars, to 15-year-old Leslie, the most popular girl in the 7th grade clique, all of the girls play together as children. There is a community that teaches them their value, and this already shows in how they perceive their capabilities. The name of the Girls Empowerment Program is Proyecto Capaz, which translates to Project Capable. When you speak to the girls at the program, they will all tell you similar stories. My mother is a waitress, a homemaker, a secretary, a cleaner, a tortilla maker. But I want to be a doctor, a chef, an accountant in business, a firefighter, an engineer, a technical artist, a teacher, a lawyer, a veterinarian, a mechanic, and from 5-year-old Velvet, a ballerina. I'm not making up these for effect. These are real quotes from the girls. The girls of Guatemala are capable, and this program teaches them that despite social expectations and tough odds, they can succeed in what they want to do if they study, work hard, and believe in themselves. To me, it seems like a basic human right and an acknowledgement of I thou rather than I it to allow everyone to feel capable.
So I get to stand up here and do something I like to do a lot, talk about soccer. So the main thing that sold me on this Guatemala trip was going to go hang out with a bunch of kids and play soccer while doing mission work. So it's kind of a big thing for me. I like soccer. So after school, almost every day, we'd walk from the school, maybe not even a quarter mile, to this little park that had a couple of concrete soccer fields, and we'd just play for a couple hours. We taught the kids how to stretch so they could not tear muscles playing. It's a good thing. We played really good soccer. They were a lot better than me, even the ones that were 5-6 years younger. There were some embarrassing moments for me. I had many nicknames, from La Blanca, I believe was the main one, to, I don't know quite how to translate this, but the ghost. And it was great fun. But the one thing I'm mainly up here to talk about is how when these kids were out here, they didn't speak much Spanish, or didn't speak much English, and I didn't speak much Spanish. We could still communicate, though. it was almost, in Brian's words, a God moment. Mm. How we could go out there and barely speak anything in common and still manage to communicate well and mostly play soccer well, as long as I didn't touch the ball. And it was great. The kids were happy. They could get me where they needed me to be by pointing and using the some common language we had. But soccer is one of the few things in this world that can transcend language. And I think it was beautiful to get to go down there and talk about God with these kids and do something that could transcend language with these kids. And it was a great experience. Hopefully I get to do it again sometime.
Yay, thank you.
When I was, you're taller than me. When I was in eighth grade, I made the highly practical choice to take French as my foreign language in high school. Unfortunately, that left me with no Spanish skills when I got to Guatemala, which is a Spanish-speaking country. As we were there, I started to pick up some Spanish words, but I can do well in language classes, but I'm not one of those people who can pick up languages very easily and speak them. So I was kind of shaky. I struggled to communicate with the kids. I didn't really know where my place in the mission was, how I could be the most useful. But early in the week, we attended a service at a local church, and they did some stuff in Spanish and some stuff in English, so I could follow the English bits, even though I didn't understand the Spanish. And when it got time for the sermon, three people got up on stage. They introduced themselves. One person said that they would be preaching in English. The second said that they would be translating it to Spanish. And the third, who had an easel and a bunch of pastels, said that they would be drawing bilingually. While the preacher did his sermon in English, then the translator translated to Spanish, and the whole time in the background, the third person was standing there drawing a picture to go with the sermon. And that in particular struck me, because whether or not you spoke English or Spanish, you could still follow the picture in the background and understand what was happening. And even though the drawing bilingually comment had been a joke, it still was very powerful to me. And I didn't really know at that time how important it would become to my week. On the afternoon of our second day at the school, we were sitting around. We had a little bit of downtime waiting for people to get back and while the kids were still in classes. And there was a bag of markers sitting around. So I just picked up a marker and I started doodling on myself, just swirls on my arm. And then a couple of other people in our group saw me drawing and asked me to draw on them as well. And then the kids came out of their classes and saw people with drawings on their arms, and they were all very interested. So they started asking me to draw on them as well. So I spent the rest of the week completely mobbed by a circle of kids, giving them Sharpie tattoos, and along with Sophie, you know, business was booming, so we had to hire a few extra hands. But I actually managed to pick up some more Spanish just from drawing on the kids. I learned the Spanish word for octopus from drawing on people, pulpo. And it gave me a way to interact with the kids, even though I couldn't speak their language and they didn't know mine 100%. It was important that I could figure out how to use my individual skills to be useful on this mission trip, even though I couldn't fully communicate through spoken words. And it showed that there are other ways to communicate and to connect with people besides just spoken language. And even though our language is a difference, it wasn't a difference that could divide us or keep us from forming connections. Different people have a lot of differences, but there are still ways to overcome them through sports, through drawings, through just being together. And it's important to remember in a world where there are a lot of differences between peoples. And it's also important to learn how to use the skills God has given you to find your place, even if it's not what you expected.
Great. Stay right here, guys. Stay right here. Stay right here. I just want to say a few words about these young people and what they have done today for us. First of all, you said, Clara, you said, hey, I know this isn't Sunday morning material, when you were talking about some pretty tough stuff. Well, I want to tell you, and I want to make sure everybody else knows, if that's not Sunday morning material, then we don't matter. And so what you were able to share is tells the real thing. And I believe that's one of the beautiful things about who Jesus is that he comes near. The cross reminds us of a God who is not afraid of our worst days and our worst moments. So you being able to clearly share with us some of the struggles and the realities of what goes on, for especially for young girls in Guatemala, not just there, around the world, that is absolutely Sunday morning material. That is absolutely things that we need to pray about and do things about, being the body of Christ. So thank you for your bravery in sharing that with us today. Now, Blanco Ghost, the White Ghost. Now, you're too young, but your daddy's old enough to remember a show called The White Shadow. Remember that show? One of the greatest TV shows ever. I'm thinking White Shadow for you. And I mean, because you're that cool. And but to be able to share what you were able to do, to use the gifts you have, to go down there and play, that must have been just an incredible experience playing with those young people, and what a gift that you gave them. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for being brave enough to go down there and play soccer with great, great players, and to be able to do that and to teach them what you could. That was an incredible gift, so thank you, Connor. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. The White Shadow.
It's good for knocking his ego down a peg.
Oh, looks... I think you're good for that too, right? Now, one thing you need to know about our dear Hannah, she was at prom last night, right? She was at prom last night, and she's here in church this morning. That is huge. I didn't even go to church after my prom. I use it as an excuse to miss church. But she was at prom last night. She was here today and share a wonderful message for us. My wife is a French speaker. And I can tell you that while maybe there's not a lot of practical sense, whenever you say it, it sounds so pretty, it really doesn't matter what you say. You just say a bunch of things. I think she said one time, I'm going to open the pickle jar. And I was like, oh, that is awesome. So you have something going there. But to be able to share how you were able to take a moment, and the thing I think is beautiful about this is all these young people were vulnerable there. And they found a way to connect the gospel and to connect with other people. And for you to do that with the Sharpie tattoos, Hannah, that is awesome. I mean, that is so great. And it just tells us something about the beautiful leadership we have of the parents of Brian, who take our young people to these places, find a way to help them find their niche. What you've done today in sharing how you found your way through tattoos, you found your way through soccer, you found your way through the Girls Empowerment Program, is you've modeled for us a way for us to be Christians in the world. And we can do that not just in Guatemala, but here. So what you've done today is given us a beautiful message through your vulnerability, your willingness to risk, your willingness to take chances, and your willingness to use the gifts God has given you. So I want to say a word of thanks for your ministry and for the ministry of all of our young people who went to Guatemala. If you are one of the young people that went to Guatemala and you're here today, please stand up so we can greet you as well. And the chaperones, wherever the chaperones are, if you're a chaperone, what's that? All right, so anyway, you guys know about our ministries in Tanzania. It's been here for 30 years. For India, many trips there. Philippines, rather newer ministry, but multiple trips there. And now this is a new mission that's a part of our life together. The Escuela Integrada here in Antigua, Guatemala. It will be specifically geared towards our youth. So all of you little kids out there, all you little kids, come see the big kids because they got something to teach you about what you'll be doing later on in your life and ministry here at Bethel. So you guys are amazing. You're a gift to us. Thank you for your sharing today, and we love you, and we're so proud of you. Thank you. Thanks, buddy. We love you. Thank you. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. All right, we're going to invite everybody to stand as we continue by singing our hymn of the day.